Welcome back. Midday show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giller. I should say Doc Douglas today as we discuss Eagles, Buccaneers. Eagles a 1.5 favorite, but a lot of injuries here. No AJ, likely. No Devontae and no Lane, likely. We'll find the final injury report today, but I still expect the Eagles to go down and win the game. You have a $250 million quarterback, a team with more just good players than the Bucs. I expect a victory. Hugh's concerned here, but that song is playing for a reason because...
Why?
Well, I mean, Hugh, you know.
It still feels to me like that's a Hall & Oates song, even though it's not.
It just feels like a Hall & Oates song?
It does. No, I can't be the only one that feel that way, but it feels like a Hall & Oates song.
It's a good song. I mean,
it is a really good song.
It is, and it is. It's fitting here because yesterday, Rich Cimini, a guy you know, Hugh, because this guy.
Rich has been covering the Jets.
Forever.
Since I was a Jet.
So, which is a long time ago. Rich has a podcast now. And obviously about the Jets, but he was kind of opining on what's going on with the Hassan Reddick situation, but also taking a look at, because the Jets lost Bryce Huff, right? Now he's here, but how did that impact the Jets the other way? Listen, there's a couple things, and just wait for it, because we'll get to the part about the future of Hassan Reddick with the Jets, but here's what Rich said about the Bryce Huff situation. What he's noticed for a player that was good for the Jets here, not so much.
Bryce Huff. Probably one of the more disappointing free agents in the NFL right now. And get this, 77 snaps so far on defense, only one tackle, zero pressures, zero quarterback hits, zero sacks. So essentially, he's done in 77 snaps what Hassan Reddick has done with no snaps, which is nothing. And so I don't think that's an indictment on Huff. I mean, we know he's a good player. And so I do believe the Jets still made a mistake by letting him go. It's just that he's not a good fit in that Eagles system. And clearly Vic Fangio, their defensive coordinator, has not embraced Huff. And so that's on the Eagles. They screwed up that signing. They've taken a good player, and they're misusing him.
So that's an interesting perspective because our perspective is, we're not getting anything out of this Bryce Huff guy. Maybe he stinks. His perspective as a guy who's covered him for years with the Jets says he is good. It's Vic and the Eagles that are misusing this guy.
I mean, and I kind of said that. I kind of said that for whatever reason, you're not utilizing his skill set to the best of his ability. The first thing I would have did with Bryce Huff was not put him on the left side of that ball when it comes to trying to pass rush. I'd have put him to the right side. And just let him work against the tackle over there, not worry about the chip or anything like that. He's been getting crushed on that chip block. And I can tell you, as a guy who's been chipped a lot in his career, if you ain't built for that, it's tough. It's tough to take that chip block on. And he's been crushed with the chip block. You help him out by allowing him to move to the other side and just let him rush. Let him get comfortable. He's not comfortable right now, and I can't imagine – how it's going for him in meetings. Like, to sit there in a meeting and be a part of something and watching film, knowing you're not playing to your ability and having to sit there and listen to that and the coach not really trying to help you out, that's a tough spot to be in.
Well, and also that the team was better when you weren't on the field last week, right? The less they played you, the better they got. So
all of that.
So he's kind of saying, hey, the Eagles have screwed this Huff thing up. Well, what about the Reddick thing? Because now this is where it gets really juicy. Listen to this. Rich Cimini covers the Jets, has for a long time. What he's heard about Hassan Reddick and what could happen next.
So, you know, could he get traded back to the Jets, you know, or traded to the Jets? Let's put it this way. A little birdie told me that Reddick, I don't think, would be opposed to something like that. I think Reddick is so frustrated with the Jets situation, and of course he did request a trade in August, so frustrated that he wouldn't mind going back to Philadelphia. Again, heard it from a little birdie, take it for what it's worth. Could that trade happen? Reddick for Huff? Boy, that would be one of the more bizarre trades in NFL history.
Oh my goodness gracious. The idea of trading Huff for Reddick. Let me give you my very quick and simple take on this. Call it in, Howie. Call it in, Joe Douglas. Huff was good with the Jets. Reddick was good here. Obviously, it's not worked for either party so far in the other place. Reddick because of money. Huff maybe because of fit and Fangio. I don't know. Yes. I think both teams would benefit from this immediately. Call it in. I would trade Huff for Reddick today. Hugh, would you?
No. I mean, I understand where everybody's coming from, but I understand how we feel. But that's not going to happen. They need to figure out how to get Bryce Huff involved in this defense, and they need to help him be successful. That's old Coach Fangio. This is starting to be old Coach Fangio. Because to me, when I see the film and I watched him play in the past, he's effective. You need to figure out how to make him effective. That's what a good coach does.
So you could do that, or you could just swap him out, bring Reddick back, and put him right on the field.
First of all, you're admitting that you screwed up on two fronts with Hassan Reddick and Bryce Huff, because you paid Bryce Huff that money. And Hassan Reddick, when he comes back, there's still one glaring issue that you have that you still have to take care of. Okay, he says he wants to come back.
Well, so Rich Cimini's saying a little birdie told him. I'm guessing someone involved
He wants to be paid. He's still in a position where he wants to be paid, Joe. It's not like he just wants to come back and, hey, everything's cool. We'll pick up where we left. No, he wants to be paid.
But he's losing money every week.
Yeah, he's okay with that.
Well, for now, he's okay with it.
He's okay with it. And he's trying to find a solution to his problem. And at the same time, he's trying to fix what he perceives to be the Eagles' problem. And right now, the Eagles' problem is they ain't got no pass rush.
Well, here's you're right on that Reddick, he still has an issue. But the Eagles are wasting money. Reddick is losing money. The Eagles are wasting money. They're getting nothing out of the guy they're paying $17 million. It's just this money down the toilet. He has had zero impact.
That's on Coach Fangio.
I don't even disagree with you on this, but I'm just trying to fix it.
How you fix it? Coach Fangio, whatever, Coach, if you're listening, whatever it is that you have against Bryce Huff, get over it, because we're trying to win football games. Put that man on the other side, man, and let him just rush the pass.
Yeah, you know, but that may be the solution. But sometimes players just play certain places well, and they don't play other places well. I mean, Nick Foles is an example. Everywhere he was, but here he stunk. And he was here, he was good.
I don't think that's the case with Bryce.
I guess we'll find out as time goes on. But you know what I want? I want the easy way out. I don't want to wait to fix this. I want Reddick on the field after the bye. Am I asking for too much? Kyle, would you do it right now? Huff for Reddick today.
Yes, of course. Like, Bryce Huff can't play. I don't care what side of the line he's on. I don't care if you want to blame coaching, any of that stuff. Hassan Reddick last year, I get everyone fell off at the end of the year. He still had 11 sacks. Bryce Huff isn't even getting,
How many sacks did Bryce Huff have last year?
Dude, how many does he have this year?
He can't even
get tackles. He's not logging stats. He stinks.
Guess who got him and Hassan Reddick right now got the same stats?
Yeah, because Hassan physically isn't on the field.
But this guy's trying.
And him and Hassan Reddick got the same stats right now.
That says more about Huff than it does Reddick.
No,
you're not making the point you think you are.
No, I am making the point because Hassan, I think right now that if given the opportunity, Bryce Huff can still be a functional pass rusher.
He is being given an opportunity. Hugh, he's playing his way off the field.
Dude, he's playing. He's out there. He's a fish out of water, number one.
He sucks.
I do not think that they are helping him. They're not helping him out. You know what, I don't think they're helping him out.
This is the easiest no-brainer trade I think the Eagles could ever have.
Call it in right now. You know what this is? This is the Castellanos thing in a different form. No, this is the Castellanos thing in a different form.
What's Castellanos got to do with this?
So I was very willing to say, I'm sorry, let's move forward. And that's the Eagles could do this.
I don't want
to
give up on him.
And you just want to double down.
Because he can play. He can play.
But Reddick can play better.
We don't know Huff. We actually don't know that Huff can play.
We don't know that he can play.
No, we don't. He had 10 sacks last year on a really good defense, a defensive line that made things easier for him to put him in positions where he could thrive.
Kyle.
We're not doing that.
You just said it. Put him in position to thrive. He's not in position to thrive.
There's two separate things. Does he have talent? Can he play? I think you're probably right. The NFL.
Probably.
He had a 10-sack season, and for whatever reason, the NFL decided he was a hot free agent. People think he could play. Can he play here in this system?
No.
That's what I care about. Can he play with the Jets? Fine, go back to the Jets then.
Right.
And give me back Hassan Reddick. 215-592-9494.
You guys are insufferable.
When I saw this Rich Cimini thing, I was like, this is gold. We got to get him back. Sometimes the simplest answer is right in front of everyone. The Jets could use Huff back. And we could use Reddick back.
You know what? Rich Cimini just texted me. We were talking about – I said Vic Fangio's not using him the right way. He said, I figured as much. Huff is a good player. I watched him closely for 4 years. I was surprised to see him has nothing in the stat column. Surprise!
So send him back.
We're
let
all
him get
surprised.
Yeah.
But the reality is he sucks right now.
This
is the easiest trade.
Let me just say this.
This is a total no-brainer.
I have been a big Coach Fangio fan up until this point. And I'm starting, like, I'm not there. But I'm y'all about to make me make a call to Miami. And I'm going to talk to some of them cats down there. And I need to find out what's going on because, man, this makes no sense to me.
You know what this is, though? Reddick is Fangio proof. Put him on the field and go get the quarterback. I can hear this music as Hassan Reddick walks back into the lane.
Da-na-na.
As an Eagle one more time.
I tell you what, man, this song does get you hype, man.
It does, of course.
It definitely does.
Imagine, all right, imagine post-bye, right? Eagles have a bye next week. Trade goes down. They introduce the defense against the Browns. Last guy out of the tunnel, Hassan Reddick back as an Eagle. Can you imagine the roar
on,
at
you.
The link? Can you hear that right now?
At back, no.
No, come on.
It's not going to happen.
Do you realize how much money that studio audience back there is paying? And you disappoint them every day.
I'm getting a lot of heat
live
for this.
Live studio
I'm
audience.
Like, listen, people. Because I just got somebody made a meme talking about I'm a fan of the Bryce Huff fan club. I see that. I see
the
everything.
The only one.
But I'm trying to tell you what I know. I mean, because I'm just saying, I think he can play. I believe that. And y'all need to start believing me because didn't I tell you last week that this defense can play? Why is it? Why? See, I see what it is now.
Hold on.
I'm on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, of course. But you leave something out of that.
I just
think it's funny. I see. I told you guys this defense could play. Coincidentally, they played well when they took Huff off the field. The less he played.
Because it's one of those things where you do what's comfortable. You don't do what's right all the time. And I think the easiest thing that Coach Fangio did was he put to a five-man front, and he put BG out there.
Yeah,
How long is BG going to play at the level that you have him playing at?
I don't know.
As long as it takes.
That's right.
See, we're worried about Saquon's health because he's older. BG, 36.
He's an old man. All right, let's get to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. We'll get to some of the Saquon stuff. How much will they run him on Sunday? Do you expect to win, even with the injuries? And Huff for Reddick. Let's call this thing in. Would you do it? I would. Hugh is not giving up on Huff. Bobby in Harleysville. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Bobby. What's up?
Hugh.
Yes.
Love you.
Here we go.
I appreciate you. But, man, you are so wrong on this. Look at the production over the years of these two players, Huff and Reddick. And Reddick comes out on top. No matter what, no matter where you put him in, no matter how many downs you play him in, Reddick comes out on top.
Bobby, can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question? I know you. I know. Wait a minute, Bobby. Can I ask you a question? Okay, Bobby, go. Go for it, Bobby. Go. You got it.
Okay. So you say comfortability over what's right, correct? Okay, comfortability is you put a Hassan Reddick in every down. You don't have to worry about him completing his job on against anybody. You don't have to worry about that. But with Huff, you got to worry about it because the tight end can just keep him held up, and that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous that a tight end can keep his defensive end held up like that. It's ridiculous.
Okay, Bobby, are you done?
Go ahead.
Because when I said being comfortable, I was talking about the five-man front that they went to last week and the fact that you took him off the field because BG is the comfortable player.
Mm.
And as far as Hassan Reddick being here, why do you think Hassan Reddick isn't here? Like, let's start
because,
with that.
Because he wanted more money than we were willing to give him.
They didn't want to give it to him.
And they might have been wrong.
They were definitely wrong. They were definitely – look at the production. If you look at the production –
Bobby, are you going to let me speak? I gave you the whole floor. Am I allowed to speak?
Okay, I'm sorry. Bobby's passionate.
It's cool, Bobby. I appreciate your passion, but I'm trying to explain to you where I'm coming from. Hassan Reddick is an older player. And the Eagles didn't want to give him the money that he was asking for. They felt like he was asking for too much money. The same reason why the Jets don't want to give him that kind of money. Like we just talked about, Bryce Huff, between the two, has a tremendous upside. And he's shown when he was with the Jets that he can play. I believe that Bryce Huff can play at this level. And I think he can play for us if put in the right opportunities. This is the thing, Bobby, when I see Bryce Huff. You're asking him to be an every-down player, which he hasn't done, and I understand that. and you're asking him to play a defensive end spot that he hasn't been comfortable playing at all. So in order to help him out, to me, you need to put him on the easier side of the ball. You need to put him on the right side of the ball, take him out of that tight end, off the tight end side. There's a lot going on over there. You're right. He is getting crushed by the tight ends.
Yep.
Because, for one, number one, it's the way that he's lining up, and he's not understanding the run fits. He's not understanding the mechanisms of playing that position, the left defensive end. And as of right now, to me, as I sit here on this radio show and not down there at the NovaCare Complex, it looks to me like Coach Fangio is not doing anything, or Coach Hurts or whoever you want to put it on is not doing anything to help him learn that position. And they're doing the easy thing right now and putting BG out there at 36 years old and just fixing the problem that way instead of bringing him along and teaching him how to play that position.
I agree with what you just said, Hugh, but you know what another easy fix is, Bobby? Trade Huff out of here and bring back Reddick.
Boy, I tell you.
Oh, Zach, and you know what? It will fix and solve most of the problems that we're having right now rushing the passer. It will fix it.
No, you know what will fix these problems?
I think it will. It will.
How about Coach Fangio coach him up? How about he do that?
Yes. Yes, but how long is that going to take for
that's a fair
meant,
point.
You know how long he should have been doing it as the
season. This player was never meant for the league like this.
What you mean he wasn't ever meant? He's been in the league for 4 years. What are you talking about? He's been in the NFL for four years.
In a limited role.
Okay, if he's in a limited role, then how about you help him out? Why? Okay, well, ask me this, Bobby. Why has Asai Reddick been on four other football teams? Why has he been on four other teams?
Why did he produce the most on ours?
Why is he – if you have a pass rusher of his caliber, why is he on so many different teams?
So let me – all right, we appreciate it. Let's everyone – a little deep breath. I'll take it for a second, all right, while we take a deep breath. I think the last thing you said, Hugh, is fair. Because he said Huff's not built for this, and you think give him time, right? He could be built for it. And you make a fair point. It took Reddick a while to get to that level, right? So here's the question I have. Are we trying to win this year, or is this a long-term plan? Because if it's a long, if you tell me, Joe, take a deep breath. Huff's here for 3 years. It's a long-term thing. Next year's our year. The year after that, he'll get there. I believe you. But if the goal is to win right now, I don't know how long it's going to take Huff to figure this out. Guess what I know? Get Reddick back in an Eagles uniform, and I guarantee you next Sunday, or two Sundays from now, he takes down Deshaun Watson with a sack or two. He'll come off the bus and sack the quarterback because that's where he is in his career.
I don't know.
I am not willing to wait for Huff.
I don't know. I think the reason why we're waiting for Huff is because, again, a lot of this is probably psychological because he hasn't played well, and I know he's starting to feel that heat from not playing well. And I feel like the coach is not helping him out at all. I don't know. Like, again, and I always preface it by saying this. I don't know what's going on down there at the NovaCare Complex. But you tell me that you gave this man $51 million and he only getting 18 snaps. And you, like, from what I've seen, he's been primarily the left end. So that tells me this. Like, if he's not playing well, Joe, it's my job to make sure or put him in position to be successful. That's my job as a coach.
I agree with that.
And if he's not playing well against the tight end, okay, help him out a little bit. Okay, on passing downs, move him to the right side. Let him go against space. Let him work in space because that's where it looks like he's comfortable. So let him work in space.
So they could do that. I mean, maybe they will. It's a quicker fix to get Reddick back here. 215-592-9494. I'm going to use an analogy. I'm not even going to say it to you, Hugh, because I know how you are about sharing food. Let me give you an analogy. Kyle might be able to relate to this. I think a lot of people. You ever go out with someone to a restaurant? Could be anybody, right? And you order one thing, but you thought about ordering the other thing. And then the person you're with orders you both had the same similar ideas. Mm-hmm. I got choice A. They got choice B. You start eating it. You try each other's and you realize, you know what? I like yours better. You like mine better. Let's just swap. It's not that big of a deal.
No.
That's not a great analogy. I'm sorry.
No, it's not. It's not a great analogy.
No, I actually think it was a good analogy.
No, it's not. Yeah. Like, I don't like my food.
You don't share.
No, but it's like, I ordered what I ordered. And I feel like since I ordered
you're
it.
Stubborn.
Okay, no.
Yeah,
okay.
You are.
You're stubborn.
No, it's not. Stubborn. It's like I ordered it and I'm going to eat it.
That's stubborn.
It's not being stubborn. I mean, I'm going to eat it.
Apologize to Castellanos. My goodness.
That's more plant-based thinking about Hugh. He wouldn't throw away the plant-based butter because he bought it. He was stubborn.
I'm gonna eat it. I'm gonna
throw away the plant.
I'm gonna eat what I bought.
You know what? Bryce Huff is the plant-based Butterfinger. You bought it, and you're gonna eat it no matter what.
It's not. It's when I see it, I feel like you need to help him be successful. Because when I see Bryce Huff play, he reminds me a little bit of Cameron Wake. Go back and look at Cameron Wake's film. They built about the same. Cameron Wake was primarily a right defensive end. Played for the Miami Dolphins. You have to, and I saw him, he had some pretty decent rushes last week. Coach Fangio needs to do a better job of putting him in position to be successful.
Yeah, we could ask more out of the teacher, or we could just get a new student. Ron in Pottstown. What's up, Ron?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Ron. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking you's right. First of all, they came in the season, if I'm not mistaken, the fourth youngest team in the NFL.
Yes, they did. So,
okay. You're right because it's funny. 2 days ago, I read a stat where Huff was like one of the top pass rushers that's been chipped. And that leads me to believe you're going to have to get him in a position where he's not being chipped all the time.
You have to.
You're right. You're right. You got to get him in space where he can roam free a little bit. So you're right when you got to get away from the tight end and let him roam a little bit.
The other thing, Ron, before you go on, Hugh, and I think I'll see if you agree with this. When I hear a player's being chipped, it tells me the defense.
They respect his speed.
It's almost the. You ever hear the Reggie Jackson line back in the day? They don't boo nobodies.
Yeah.
They probably don't chip players that don't have the ability.
Because they know he has the ability to do it.
Right.
And that's why I'm saying if I'm a defensive coordinator and I know that I have a $51 million guy sitting on my bench that has the pass rush ability, but right now he's not getting it done. Hell, I'm turning him into the Joker. I'm making him the spinner. And what I mean by that is I'm going to move him around in that defense to allow him to get favorable matchups for him that's going to get him going. Coach Fangio has not done anything, in my opinion, in the last 3 weeks to help this man have success. That's a fact. Because you're just sticking him out there. He's not doing what you want him to do. And so instead of trying to help him out, you just put him on the bench and put somebody in that you know can get it done. And that's not the case. Like, your job as a coach is to make sure you get the most out of the players that you're given. And Coach Fangio's not doing that right now. He's not doing it. And I don't care what anybody says. That if you want him to be successful, you have to put him in position to be successful.
Ron, you
I'm
expect
sorry, Ron.
You
I'm being passionate.
You don't have to be sorry. Ron, no,
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And he's a lot younger than Urban Reddick.
Yeah.
And they're not going to, you know, how he's not going to make any mistake, and he's not going to pay him the money. Now, concerning Sunday's game, I'm not conceding anything to the Bucks. I watched Dotson play a lot at Penn State. That kid's a first-round pick for a reason. He's a good player. And second of all, I'm not giving Goddard. Goddard can do this. Listen, you think about Mahomes and Kelce. Everyone in the stadium knows that they're going to Kelce when he needs the yards. And if Goddard's as good as everyone thinks he is, then doggone it, he's got to be able to catch the ball in tight situations. And I'm not conceding him. On Sunday, when Jalen needs those yards, Goddard better be open.
Ron, and look, last week he came through in the big spot, so he could do it again. Ron, we appreciate the phone call. And yeah, their safety, Antoine Winfield, is out. So that speaks to another day where Goddard should be able. I mean, he's going to be their focal point on Sunday. I'd be shocked if he's not their focal point. Let's go to AJ in Woodbury. What's up, AJ?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
What's going on, man?
What's up, AJ? What are you feeling today?
Hugh, man. Yo, Hugh, I love you, man, but you're ruining the community, man.
I'm ruining the community? What does that even mean?
Usually I'm the one ruining the community. I got disinvited to the barbecues because of Jalen.
It's all love and jokes, man. So
I'm asking, what did I do?
Listen, I'm at my kids' football game the other day. Now this is maybe 11, 12 year old kids. There's a mom there. I'm screaming out to the kids, hey, before the half, say, hey kids, nothing gets behind you. Let's go defense. You know, I'm clapping my hands. Lady way back in the stands who knows absolutely nothing about football goes, well, Hugh Douglas says defense is
awesome. Oh, no.
You are ruining the community.
AJ.
AJ.
You ain't right for that, man. You are not right for that.
Oh, that's a great story,
hey,
AJ.
We needed that though, because it was getting a little passionate in here. I needed that.
Do you see the influence you have?
I needed that.
I'm trying, AJ, to get everyone to realize defense still matters, and Hugh is in these people's heads. It's unbelievable.
Now my kid is telling me, "Well, who is Hugh Douglas?" I said, "Defense is not a luxury. We play defense around here."
Okay? No, it's different. It's different at that age. But yeah, I apologize, AJ. I apologize, man. I'm gonna try to do better. I'm trying to do better.
Hey, man, I love you guys. You guys do a great job, man. I listen to you guys every day.
Appreciate you, AJ.
We appreciate you, man. That's a great phone call. That might be my favorite call we got in a long time.
Yeah, that was. That was a timely call.
So here's what happened. When you started this whole crusade, the defense doesn't matter. You didn't realize the children were going to be impacted.
No, I didn't know that, man. I didn't know that, and I apologize.
You know, I'm imagining now.
I apologize.
I'm imagining youth football coaches trying to teach defense, and these kids are like, "Come on, coach.
Hugh Douglas said, Hugh Douglas said it don't matter."
Oh, man, these coaches are probably losing their mind. All right, you might lose your mind after I say this. Let's hear Sirianni this week, because there's a lot of discussion now about how they're going to win this game Sunday. If there's no AJ, if there's no Devontae, they're probably going to lean on Saquon, right? That's going to be how they're going to score. Well, how much Saquon is an acceptable amount, and how much is like, all right, let's not ruin this guy or wear him out in the first three, four games of the season. Here's Sirianni earlier this week with Joe and John on how much they could use Saquon if they have to use Saquon.
Saquon through three games has 73 touches. If you extrapolate that for 21 games, which is what it'll probably take to win the Super Bowl if you don't get a bye, he's on pace for 511 touches. 511. Do you feel you need to dial him back a bit?
Well, I think I don't remember where I said this. I do a lot of media, so I don't remember if I said it here, if I did it, said it in the production meeting, if I said it, you know, wherever I said this. But you do everything you can do to win each individual game, right? Can you imagine if we didn't give him the ball as many times as we did and we lost? You know what I mean? I think about how that would feel.
Right.
Like, oh, my God, we didn't give Saquon. We tried to pull back on Saquon to rest him for the 21 games like you're talking about, and we lost the game. You better win the game.
Yes.
You better win the game. And that's our job every single week. So the way I look at it, guys, is we'll do whatever. If Saquon needs to carry it seven times to win because we got to throw it a bunch, then that's what's got to happen. If Saquon's got to carry it 50 times to win, then we'll give him to him 50 times. Where we can make up for that is in practice. You know, Saquon, how you feel, talking to Saquon, how he's feeling, pulling back on him in practice, so that way he's completely fresh.
All right, so obviously Sirianni there is probably just going a little facetious, a little over the top with the number. No one's going to give him the ball 50 times, right?
That's crazy.
I think he's just throwing a number out there. But Hugh, we had this discussion a few weeks ago. We come back to it now. It hit me when I heard Joe say what he said in the midst of his question, that if you extrapolate the numbers, right, based on how often he's gotten the ball the first 3 weeks, if this is the whole season, that Saquon Barkley would touch the ball over 500 times this year. There is a point where they have to start thinking about the long term, isn't there? Like, would you give him the ball 30 times on Sunday? I feel like I have to have some sort of – I have to have something in the back of my head if I'm the head coach and the coordinator saying, we have to – take care of him so later in the season there's not diminishing returns. Do you think about that on Sunday? Or are you, like Sirianni on this, just try to win the game?
I'm just trying to win the game. I mean, and if I was making – if I was compensating for him carrying the ball as much, I would probably give him the day off, you know?
During the week, is that what you mean?
Well,
like during
like
practice?
This is – if I'm not mistaken, the bye is after this game, correct?
It is. They have the bye next week.
So, yeah, run him to death and give him 2 weeks off. Run him to death.
Kyle? I mean, I've been concerned about this for a while, even after the first game. Like, I just feel like as the season goes on, if this continues, I could see them easily getting wrapped into each week, right? Like, today we got to win the game. We'll worry about the big picture down the line. And then all of a sudden you wake up, it's Thanksgiving, and he's touched the ball way more than anybody else. And I don't want him to wear down in December and into January.
Remember when that caller said, I'm tired of Joe Giglio?
Yep.
I'm tired of you today.
He's tired of Joe.
This pisses me off so much.
Why?
Because Saquon Barkley is probably the best player we're going to have on the field Sunday. It's going to be wet. We have Johnny Wilson, John Ross, and Paris Campbell out there. It might as well be the three of us out there on the field catching passes from Jalen Hurts. Of course you give Saquon the ball as many times as it takes.
30 times.
Sure, whatever it takes to win the game. You're not just throwing away a game. Yeah, they have a bye week the next week. Like, if they have a pitcher, like, I know we use the pitcher analogy all the time. If they're going to, like, if he's getting over 100 pitches, right, and you're thinking about giving him 10 more, if he has, if the All-Star break's coming up, you obviously let him throw those 10 more pitches. Like, he has a week off. And, in fact, if they keep giving Saquon the ball this much, by the end of the season, you know what's going to happen? Teams are going to start stacking the box more, and we won't have to give it to Saquon as much. Like, I don't know why we're so worried about him wearing down at the end of the year, when I don't know if there's any examples of running backs that toward the end of a season sort of taper off. I know it's sort of it might take a toll the next year. We have the DeMarco Murrays of the world, but I don't see any scenario where Saquon Barkley's all of a sudden going to fall off a cliff just because we gave him the ball 30 times in a season. When's it ever happen?
I remember, wait a minute. I just had his name in my head. The running back from Alabama, he was the start of it.
Ingram?
No, played for Seattle.
Alexander.
Man, got paid. Fell off the cliff.
Well, hold on. They went to the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, but he toted the rock a lot,
well,
man.
But the team benefited from it, right? No, they got to a Super Bowl because of it.
I mean, it is, but there's a chance, like, when you're talking about guys fall off the cliff, it happens.
All right, well, hold on.
Eddie George, I think, was another guy.
I got an example. We were trying to find them before the show. And then, look, there's so many running backs. You have to, like, go through all their game logs. I got one for you very recently in just Eagles memory, right? Because we could go through anybody. Mm-hmm. 2022. Through the first 12 games or 13 games of the season, Miles Sanders was averaging over 5 yards a carry. He wore down that year.
Okay, well, you know what else happened?
Last four games, he averaged 3.6 yards a carry. By the time we got to the playoffs, who was their best running back in the playoffs? Kenny Gainwell.
Okay, but you're making my point for me. The team went to the Super Bowl.
I understand that.
The team benefited off of using the running back as much as possible. Let's give you a better example here. The guy that we have on our team right now, Saquon Barkley. Because in 22 to 23 was probably his last great season before he came here, 1,300
yards.
The year
they made the playoffs and played the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm seeing his last, so let's go to his last five games now, because we'll include the two playoff games that he played in. 4.8 yards a carry, 6 yards a carry, 4.8 again, 5.89, 6.78 in the last game of the season. Saquon Barkley himself doesn't wear down.
He's also 2 years older.
We're worrying about nothing here.
He's 2 years older.
Okay, but have you seen him this year?
It's September.
He looks like he was in 2018. He hit his top speed, I think, of his career since 2018.
It's September. Will he look like this in December? That's what I'm thinking about.
But I just think we're worried about nothing. Like, well, he's just as likely to get injured, if that's what we're worried about, on the very next touch we give him than the 400 touch this season.
Let me make it clear. I'm not saying to put him in bubble wrap and he gets 5 carries. I'm just saying he's had 73 touches in 3 games.
And they're 2-1.
It's an enormous.
He should be 3-0.
It's an enormous.
Yeah, 30 ain't gonna hurt him.
We're worried about wins here.
You realize, like, if we keep doing this, we're gonna wake up and he's gonna have the most touches in NFL history.
Awesome. I hope we're winning.
I'm gonna flip it on the side. Do you realize we keep playing Brandon Graham as much as we're playing him? He's probably gonna be cooked by the end of the season.
Yes, I know. They have to think about
this. But he's playing great and he's helping to win.
215-592-9494. I told you it was gonna be an explosive 11 o'clock hour. I felt it.
And Bobby, I just wanna let you know, no hard feelings, bro. We're both passionate about the team, and you know, this is what we do at the station.
Yeah, everyone's good. We appreciate
you. What did Denver do to get to Baker Mayfield 7 times?
You know, they rushed good. They got out to a lead. Pretty substantial lead in the first half. It kind of got them into a little bit more of a throwing mode, and things kind of snowballed.
The voice of Vic Fangio, how the Broncos got to Baker Mayfield 7 times last week, which obviously we would love an effort like that at the Eagles defense. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. A lot of discussion today on the game. Do you expect to win in spite of the injuries? And, of course, this Hassan Reddick thing. As Rich Cimini covers the Jets up in New York, said a little birdie told him that Hassan wouldn't mind coming back to the Eagles. So, of course, my mind starts working. We'll just trade them Huff. They could use him back.
You can take it back. Easy peasy.
Simplest trade ever. Hugh says, no, let's be patient with Bryce Huff. Where do you come down? And Saquon, you know, should the Eagles, you know, give the ball 30 times? If that's what it takes that Sunday, I want to be a little more careful with Saquon's usage as this season goes along. So you heard Vic Fangio there. Now, let's hear Jalen Carter, as obviously Vic's been putting in their head this week. We can get to this quarterback. Here's Jalen Carter on this matchup against the Bucs and Baker.
Baker Mayfield's been sacked 12 times in the past two games. What kind of opportunity do you see to get up to the quarterback on Sunday?
It's a big opportunity, you know, because what I see with the family, you know, he's staying in the pocket a little bit longer than usually what other quarterbacks do, and he's holding the ball a little bit longer. Other quarterbacks usually get out like 2.6 seconds, and he's holding it a little bit longer trying to scramble and extend plays, and I think that's a big opportunity for the D-line.
No, young fella, no, you can't say that.
Just, I mean, it's a rookie mistake. Can't say that though.
Obviously he's observing the film, and they have a book on him, right?
Yes.
But maybe we don't have to say that out loud. Is that the issue?
Well, it's bulletin board material, and I know, like, listening to it, I know Jalen doesn't think that it's a whole lot, but that's a lot because now they're looking at you. You just had a game wrecking game. You never want to wake up Godzilla. And I know people talk about, oh, well, the Bucs line isn't that good. Guess who line wasn't that good before either? The Atlanta Falcons. It's a pride thing, man. This is where pride kicks in. You hear offensive linemen, they go out there, and they hear that, and it just does something to them. Mm. Told y'all a story a while ago about a man named Brad Hopkins when he played with Tennessee, and I called him a female dog. He got mad.
How'd that work out for you?
It did not work out well for me. So my point is this. You have to remain humble. And that wasn't – he didn't say nothing that was really super bad. I'm not – you know, it wasn't
and
that.
And I'm guessing the stats back him up, right? He studied the film.
Yeah, he's saying it. But, you know, you can't say it, man. You can't say it. You just got to – you got to let it breathe, and you just got to be as humble as you possibly
can. Just go do your thing.
Because they come – like, let me tell you something, big fella, big Thundercat. They're not going to let you wreck the game like you did. And I know you're a man among boys, and I say this, and it's still a strong possibility that if he gets mad like he was, he can still do whatever he wants to do because he's a grown-ass man. But still, you don't want to give them any added nothing. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, we don't need that. I need him to play well again, and he was dominant last week against the Saints. 215-592-9494. Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Would you trade Huff for Reddick straight up? 86% want to make the swap, yes. And do you expect an Eagles win even with all the injuries? Yes at 53, no at 47. That one is about a 50-50 split. Randy is up on WIP. Hey, Randy.
Hey, buddy.
What's up, pal? What are you thinking?
Josh Huff, or Bryce Huff is gone. That's what I say.
Oh, Huff for Reddick? I'll drive Huff up to New York. We'll make this easy. Hugh can stay here. I don't want him to get all fired up on the ride. You just stay here, Hugh.
I'm just saying, man, come on, Randy. You got to help the man be successful.
Let me say something, okay? Listen, I am a union carpenter, okay? If I walk, I'm a journeyman. That means I've been in 4 years. I did my apprenticeship. If I walk into a job site and I put up apprenticeship work, I'm getting paid journeyman wages. I'm getting laid off. My boss is gone. He's getting rid of me. Now, I'll give him this weekend. He just let up. They just allowed 12 sacks in the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give him this weekend. If he doesn't get a sack this weekend, sign the check. Get rid of him.
See, Randy, and I respect the work that you do. But Randy, the thing is this: if I know, like, because it's psychological, I feel at this point too. And if your boss, say for instance, with this analogy that you just used, what if your boss wasn't believing in the work that you were doing, and every time you did something, he'd be like, "Hey, Randy, you know what? That ain't a great job." After a while, that starts to grate on you, doesn't it? It starts to grate on you a little
Absolutely.
Bit, don't it?
It's happened to me. It's happened to me multiple times.
And how did that make you feel?
Like I wasn't good enough.
So that's kind of where I feel Bryce Huff is at because, Randy, I've seen the guy play. He has some moves about him. Pass rushing is about as much ability as it is confidence. And right now I think that his confidence is being chipped away at and he's being put in a position where he isn't being successful. 18 snaps. That's what he got last week. And you know what Coach Fangio did? Say, you know what? I need to win this game. He needs to come off the field. That's not what a good coach does. He puts him in position to be successful. That's all I'm saying.
I'm a football coach myself. I coach my 7 and 8 year olds.
Yeah, and so that's all I'm saying, Randy. Just help him out. Just like you do those 7, 8 year olds. If you see that you have somebody that's playing quarterback, but he might not have quarterback skills, so you put him at linebacker. and you let him thrive at linebacker. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Randy, as a show, we apologize for Hughes telling the kids that defense is a luxury. Because I know you're trying to teach them defense matters. We know
that's
that.
That's all I'm saying, Randy. But, yeah, good analogy. But that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Yep, I appreciate it.
You got it, Randy. We appreciate you. So, Hugh, whether or not it's his fault or we blame Fangio more or whatever.
He's not producing.
So here's the thing.
Dog ain't hunting.
This is a week. So 2 weeks ago, Aiden Hutchinson, and Aiden might be the defensive player of the year. But he had 4.5 sacks against the Bucs all by himself.
Yes,
last week, the Broncos as a team had 7. Like, this is the kind of week, if we get through this game, and let's say Bryce gets more snaps than last week. Let's say he gets 30 snaps. And it's a big old goose egg.
It's going to be a problem.
People are going to start saying, when are you going to get one?
I will say this. If you put Bryce Huff out there and have him playing in the position that he's playing in and not help him out a little bit, then that's on coach. Like, I'm still saying it's on coach. Put him on the right side. Let him just line up wide and go. Hey, Bryce, I'm gonna do this for you. I'm gonna move sweat. To that defensive end spot. Like, you can call it whatever you want to. NASCAR, whatever you want to call it. Put BG, have Jalen Carter out there, BG, and Sweat, and have Bryce Huff at that right end and just let him go. Just let him go.
Well, based on the Bucs offensive line this year, Baker taking sacks, it could work. We shall see.